Okay, this is our last year before Benazan, so we're going to try to finish up Simkuf Peches. Most of the rest of Simkuf Peches is totally not Nogea Lemaisa, so we're going to do the one part that is Nogea Lemaisa, and really, if we didn't get to it, it would not have been a tragedy, because it comes up again in Kufzadi Dalim, so we could have done it there, but we'll do it now. So and then there's one part that's almost Lemaisa, which we might get to, might not, but again, not really so relevant. So the one part that is very much Lemaisa as far as gynecological examinations and Leida also, and Tumas Leida, which we're not going to, that element is comes up later, is the Sugya of Yevshav Psichos Akever below Dan. That is there an automatic Tuma that is generated by the opening of the uterus, that even if no blood is seen, no blood comes out, as far as we can see, do we assume that it's impossible when certain events occur that there wouldn't be dam associated with that event, and therefore we have to assume a woman is tamei anida? Is there any sort of gynecological examination that a woman would go through, that or instrument that would be used, that would say that I don't care if she bled or not, she is absolutely going to be in Nida. So let's start at the beginning. The beginning of the third parak of Maseches Nida discusses how a woman becomes Tamei Leida. And the opening Mishnah says that Hamapelas Chaticha, if a woman is mapil, it comes out of her body a piece of flesh, Im yesh ima dam, if there is dam together with it, tamei of im lav Torah. But if there's no dam together with it, the chaticha itself is not going to make her tamei. But Rabbi Yehuda omer ben kach tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says she's going to be tamei just from the chaticha itself. Even if there's no dam, just from apalas chaticha, that's going to make her tamei. So basic machlokas, whether a woman is automatically tamei when a piece of flesh comes out of her body, or only if blood comes out along with it. Obviously, everyone agrees that if blood does come out along with it, she's going to be tamei. The machlokas is, if blood doesn't come out along with it, do we assume that she's tamei or not? So the Gemara has, through the course of the sugya, what amounts to three suggestions as to what's going on in this machlokas. The first two are rejected, only the third one is acceptable. Let's just quickly run through it. Suggestion number one is, Amar Vidom Shmuel, lo timei Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, you have this machlokas of woman is mapil chaticha, whether she's tamei or not, but even Rabbi Yehuda's metamei is only going to be if that chaticha is one of the colors that are problematic that we've already identified. You know, Edom, Keren Karko, Meme Adama, Yain Mazuk, whatever those four shades of red are that are problematic. What's the lumdus? Why would a chaticha only of those colors be tamei? So very, very simply, because he assumes that that chaticha is dam, right? Meaning that it's not that the chaticha is coming with dam, without dam. The chaticha itself is dried up dam, so or has some dried up dam on it, or on its surface. Or so if the chaticha itself is dam, then it's going to be a problem. But any other color is going to be tahar, because he's assuming that there's no dam. If you didn't see any dam, there isn't any dam, and the chaticha itself is not dam if it's yarok or lavan or whatever. So that's the first explanation. Then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shalarba'as mine damim divrei akol tamei. No, if the chaticha itself is one of the four mine damim, forget about it. That's every, even the Chum would agree that's tamei. Shalshar mine damim divrei akol tahora. If the chaticha is yarok or lavan, everyone's going to agree tahora. The whole machlokas is hipila ve'en yodas mahipila. The whole machlokas is she has no idea what came out of her. She lost it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, she doesn't know. Zil basa rov chaticha shal baras mi v'dam mavyan. Follow the rov, and rov are dam. V'rabbanan savi lo amri rov chaticha shal baras mi v'dam. And the Rabbanan say, no, we don't follow that rov. Not abundantly clear from the Gemara whether the Rabbanan don't think that that's a rov, or they just don't follow the rov. Meaning, do they assume that it's hard to know? Rov chatichos. How often does this happen? That we're gonna, you know, this is obviously a ruba delasa kamon at most. But how often does it happen to develop a sense of what's a rov and what's not a rov? Not abundantly clear what the shita of the chum is. But essentially, what this approach is telling us is that everyone agrees that it's only tamei if the chaticha itself is one of the tame colors. The machlokas is in a case where we lost the chaticha. So Rabbi Yehuda assumes that it must have been one of the problematic colors, because they mostly are. And the Chacham say we're not going to follow the Rav. Now there's a machlokas rishonim, what Rabbi Yehuda really holds precisely over here. Rashi on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph and Tosfos over here at the beginning of the third parak, and the Ramban on Yuches Amud Beis all say that Rabbi Yehuda is only machmir misafik. That when Rabbi Yehuda says that if she lost it and she doesn't know, so we have to be machmir, that's only misafik, and it's not betoras vaday. So he would not rely on that rov to be mekel. What does it mean, rely on that rov to be mekel? I mean, l'mashal, let's say this woman, after being mapil, this chaticha of undetermined color, because it's lost, right? Let's say that woman were to touch truma. Would you be sorry for the truma? So if she's tamei vadai, then you'd be sorry for the truma. If she's not tamei, or there's a chance that she's not tamei, you're not allowed to destroy truma. So you can't be sorry for the truma. So the way a group of Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, Ramban understand is that you would not be sorry for the truma. She's not tamei betaras vadai. On the other hand, the Tosfos Rid over here and the Rashba and the Ritva back on Yuchesim Beis think that Rabbi Yehuda follows the Rov even Lahakel. It's just that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but that Rabbi Yehuda himself would follow the Rov. And according to that approach, the Chacham Mitarim might just mean that they're not Mitam. Even when the Chacham are Mitahir, it might not mean that they're totally Mitahir. It might be what Rashi, Tosfos, and Ramban think. Is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham Mitarin might just mean that it's only Tamei Misafik, that it's not Tamei Betumas Vadai. Okay, so that's just on Machlokes Rishonim in understanding the Gemara. But then the Gemara gets to the third approach. And the third approach is the part that's Nogeya Lamaisa. So after rejecting both understandings based on the Braisa that we set up until this point, the Gemara explains Ella Amrav Nachum Yitzchak Be'efshar L'psich Sakever Below Dam Kamifla. Rav Nachum Yisrael comes along and says, no, the whole machlokas is about, is it efshar l'psich sekever b'lo dam? In the Lishna Achrina in the Gemara, it's not Rav Nachum Yitzchak, it's Rabbi Yochanan himself who suggests that that's the machlokas, that the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan is about efshar l'psich sekever b'lo dam. So can the rechem open without blood emerging from it? So Rabbi Yehuda holds blood always emerges, so it's not the chaticha that bothers Rabbi Yehuda. It's the presence of a chaticha is megala that there must have been blood and you just didn't see it. And that's the issue. Whereas Chum hold that, no, Efshar L'Psich Sekever B'lo Dam. A chaticha could come out and the chaticha itself is not a problem and it could be that there's no blood. And therefore, according to the Chumim, it would turn out that even if the chaticha is black or red or one of the four minedam, the chaticha isn't blood. The chaticha wouldn't be a problem. The whole issue, meaning what's changing in this third answer, there are a few things changing, but one of the major assumptions that's changing is up until now we've been assuming that the chaticha itself, if it's a problematic color, is a problem because the chaticha itself is assumed to be blood. But now we're assuming the chaticha is not a problem. The question is, what comes along with the chaticha? So the chaticha could be red and it won't be a problem. Only blood's going to be a problem. The question is, was there blood? Now, even once Rabbi Yehuda assumes Yevshal Psich Sekever B'lo Dam, there's still no hechrich that she's Temeya, l'chora. And there's a kasha the Rishonim are bothered by, because think about it like this. Yevshal Psich Sekever B'lo Dam, right? So you know there was a Psich Sekever. We didn't see any Dam, but we know that it was there. Do you know what color the Dam is? I mean, there are only four Mine Dam that are Tame. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say... Meaning, maybe you're right, Rabbi Yehuda. Yevshal b'sich sekever b'lo dam. But how does that necessarily lead you to the conclusion that she's tamei? Maybe it's yevshal b'sich sekever b'lo dam, but the dam is dam. That's a color. That's not a problem. So there's actually machlokes Rishonim how to understand why Rabbi Yehuda automatically. What are the two possibilities? What are the possibilities? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say tamei? After all, couldn't there have been dam of a different color? What? What do you mean we don't distinguish?
Oh,
nowadays we wouldn't. But Rabbi Yehuda's talking. Rabbi Yehuda's a Tana talking in the Mishnah. They did. Yeah. So one possibility is Rov. That ain't a chrami. It's possible. It's possible that it was Dam Yalok, Dam Lavan, or whatever. But Rov of the Dam that comes from the Makar is one of the Dalim Mine Damim. So you follow Rov. And the other possibility is
when we say the Chazaka is
Then Eifshal l'psichus hakever below dam means Eifshal l'psichus hakever below dam tame. Both of these suggestions are made by Rishonim. The Raivin in Balei HaNefesh, Shar Tikkun HaVestos, Perek Aleph, says that we assume Rov dam min hamakor is dam tame. That's the Raivin in Balei HaNefesh. The Balamar in his Hasagos on the Balei HaNefesh al Raivin in Os Yud says that the phrase Eifshal l'psichus hakever below dam means Eifshal l'psichus hakever below dam tame. So that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, that's the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban is you didn't see any dam. The Chaticha itself is not fundamentally problematic. The whole issue is, do we have to assume dam tame came out along with the Chaticha? And then the Gemara goes a step further and says, Ubeplukta Dahani Tanai, that this Machlokes is not localized here to this Mishnah. We find this Machlokes elsewhere. Detanya Kashta Shnaim Lushlishi Pila Vein Yodas. Mahi pila. You have a case of a woman is during the Yeral Yom Shebein Nidal Nida, right? That's the assumption. She's during the Yemei Ziva, right? She's holding by the Yemei Ziva. So she bleeds for 2 days. She feels some contractions or whatever and bleeds for 2 days. So right now, because she's in the Yeral Yom Shebein Nidal Nida and she's bled for 2 days, what does that make her? Zava Ketana, right? She's Zava Ketana. Bleeding for 2 consecutive days makes you Zava Ketana. And then on the 3rd day, she's mapil something. She doesn't know what. It might have been a nefel. It might have been a ruach. Whatever that means. Something came out. There was some psichas arechem that happened. And she also doesn't know if there was any dam. She's also not sure if there was any dam. She didn't see any dam. So there are a few possibilities of what might have happened. Right? She has to know what to do. How does it? One possibility is maybe she was mapi la real nefel. If she's mapi la real nefel, what's halacha? Tumas leida, right? She's yoledes. Tumas leida, karbanos, right? Karbanos of yoledes. If it's a real nefel, even if it's dead, but she's yoledes. So she's tami tumas leida, but not tumaziva. Why not tumaziva? Because tumaziva, the Gemara Darshans and Daf Lamed Vav, that dama machmas atzma v'lo dama machmas v'la. The tumaziva has to be dam that comes not as a result of vlad. It has to be dam that comes just machmas atzma. So she would not be a zava, right? It would just, it's not, that's not what we would call yoledes bezov, which the Gemara talks about, but that she would not be a zava. She would just be nida. I mean, she would just be yoledes, rather, right? That's one possibility. On the other hand, maybe it was just a ruach. Now, if it was just a ruach, then there are two other possibilities. She's definitely not Tami Tumas Leida, but if there was dam, she's a Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola requires Karbanos also, and Shiva Nikim. And if she's if there was no dam, then she was just a Zava Ketana and no Karbanos, and she'll just go to the mikvah and she'll be fine. No Shiva Nikim, nothing. So Machlokas Tanaim, what do you do? So the Tanakama holds Harezu Safik Leida Safik Ziva Mevia Karban Veinanecha. That she brings an Ola Sa'of and a Chata Sa'of, because whether she's a Zava Gedola or a Yoledes, she's going to have to bring the same Karbanos. But wait, isn't there another possibility? What about the possibility that she's nothing, right? So, yeah, so she makes it Tanai. She makes it Tanai. And the Tanai is that if it was Ruach HaPila, and there was no blood, so she's neither Yoledes nor a Zava, the Ola should be an Ola Sa'nidava. And don't worry about the Chatas, just don't eat it. Why can't she eat it? Because if it's a carbon, how do they kill a carbon? That's a bird carbon? Malika, anything that on a non-carbon makes it a nevela. Malika, on a carbon, makes it kosher. So you don't know if this was a carbon or not. Now, wait a second. By the Ola, you're saying, let it be an Ola Snedava. Maybe it's an Ola Snedava. By a Chatas, there's no such thing as Chatas Nedava. So there's no Tanai you can make, let it be a Chatas Nedava. And therefore, the other option is it's nevela. It's either a chatas that fulfills her chiyuv, or it's a nevela. Now, in general, if a person is mesupik with their chayiv a carbon chatas or not, can they just bring a carbon chatas and say, oh, if it's a nevela, I just won't eat it. So generally speaking, by carbon chatas, that doesn't work. Because generally speaking, carbon chatas is coming to be mechaper. So when carbon chatas comes to be mechaper, right, so sometimes it gets into the category of Hashem Talui when you're Mesupak, but if that's that is its own criteria, but that's generally what a Karban Chatas is doing when it's coming to be a Mechaper. I can't bring it ala Safik. But over here, this Karban Chatas is not coming to be a Mechaper. She didn't do anything wrong. A woman becomes Zavagadola, she didn't do anything wrong. A woman's Yoledes, she certainly didn't do anything wrong. right? So there's no kapara that's necessary. And even if you say like those Ma'amari Chazal that yeah, because she was cursing her husband, but that's not really what the carbon's about. That's it's nice drush or whatever, not so nice drush, whatever you think of it, it's drush. But what's it really for? It's to be mati her and kachim. She's not allowed to eat kachim until she brings her karbanos. So since it's to be matir for eat kachim, we allow it to be brought out of safik. It's a basic klal in kachim. So that's what she does. That's according to one tana. But then Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mavir karban v'nechel, she could even bring the karban and eat the karban chatzis. Absolutely, she's chayav karban. Why? Yef shel psichus karban blodam. Good. So that is a machlokes tanaim that appears in our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, and it appears in the Brisa in the situation of a woman who is during the Yeralef Yom. Okay, so now there's a lot to analyze over here. Let's see, I always like to give numbers, how many different issues to analyze. Six issues to analyze, and then we'll go through Halacha L'maisa. Good? So let's see how far we get. Six issues. Issue number one. For some reason I have it backwards in my notes. Issue number one. Two in my notes, but it's the right one to discuss first. Do we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda or do we pass on like Rabbi Chabad? Right, that's the most fundamental issue of Chabad. Do we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda or do you pass on like Rabbi Chabad? Generally speaking, what's the rule? You imagine you pass on like Rabbi Chabad, yeah? So the Ramban, the Rash, but the Rush, all pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Yev shel psichus kever blodam. Why? You need a good excuse to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, right? So their excuse is Gemara and Samach Vavam and Aleph. In some of Amalav, Rava holds Yevshel Pesich Sekar Blodan, and Rava is a Basra'a in Hilchsuk Basra'a. So it's always interesting when you have Klali Apsak that go against each other. So which one is the more dominant? Someone should, like, I don't know, someone must have at some point made some sort of hierarchy of Klali Apsak. Right? So the Hilchsuk Basra'a beats out the general rule that you pass on Chabim against Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, that's what we pass on Shulchan Aruch. Here in Simchat Peches, Shulchan Aruch clearly says Yevshel Pesichus Blodan. The Ramah in Kuf Tzadi Dalid, Sif Beis, also very clearly Yevshel Pesichus Blodan. So that's clear we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. But, usually once we say Mechaber, Ramah, both hold a certain way, and Sashita of Rav Rishonim, like you don't even really need to discuss the other side. Over here, the other side may actually play a role in the Ramah. Because the other side is who? The Rambam. The Rambam is kind of important. So the Rambam, in the fifth parak of Yisurah Bia, Halacha Yud Gimel, says that if a woman is mapelas chaticha, even if it's red, ein tameya ella im yeshi madam. She's only tamei if there is some dam together with that chaticha. Apparently, like the Rabbana. He does not say, oh, automatically tamei, because he actually says, no, only tamei if yesh imadam. In parak Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, Yod Aleph Yud Beis of Yisurah Bia. The Rambam says if she expels the chaticha aduma she'eni madam tahora. Again, Rambam very clearly, consistently passes like the Rabbanan. So the Magen Mishnah says what forced the Rambam to pass like the Rabbanan. L'chari, you don't really need much of an explanation because of course you can pass like the Rabbanan. But the Magen Mishnah points out that the end of our Mishnah says that if she's mapelas kmin dagim v'chagavim, that it's only tamei if it's accompanied by dam. And the Gemara on Chav Beis and Beis says that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that line. Right? Of course Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree with that line, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, if you're mapel kmin dagim v'chagavim, then automatically you should be tamei. Yev shel b'sich sekever blow dam. And yet Rabbi, when he wrote the Mishnah, on that line, the next line of the Mishnah did not include Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So how did Rebbe arrange the Mishnah? He had a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda on the Chavim, whether Yevshel B'sich Sekar V'lodam or Yevshel B'sich Sekar V'lodam, then said another halacha which assumes Yevshel B'sich Sekar V'lodam, and doesn't mention the Dei HaCholik. And that's what we call machlokas V'achar Kach Stam. And whenever you have a machlokas V'achar Kach Stam, halacha Kistam. So the first part of the Mishnah told us Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Second part of the Mishnah told us only the Rabbanan. So halacha k'Rabbanan. Machlokas v'achar kach stam. The assumption is, when do we say machlokas v'achar kach stam halacha k'stam? It's only b'chad mesechta. Why is it only b'chad mesechta? Because the assumption is Rabbi taught the mesechta in order, and he wrote the mesechta in order, but he didn't do shas in order. He didn't start brachas daf beis and go to nida. right? So from one Masechta to another, you don't know that it's Machlokas V'achar Kachzan. That's the assumption the Gemara makes. So, but this, or here it's Mamish, like the same Mishnah, or, you know, Mishnayis, it's two Mishnayis, whatever. But it's, you know, it's in the same paragraph of Mishnayis. I'm not sure how Mishnayis, if you know, let me know, how Mishnayis were broken up historically into different Mishnayis. Because you find different breakups sometimes from the Gemara and from the Mishnah. I went years ago, many years ago, I got a call in the summertime. I used to, like, do nothing during the summer. Like, I was just... learn. It was like my time to get like stark again. And I got a call one day from Menachem Butler, who was an old DRS Talmud. And he said, you want to go to Sotheby's? I'm like, Sotheby's, like the auction house? He said, yeah, they're auctioning off rare Jewish books. I'm like, I'm not really a buyer. He's like, no, we'll do a private tour. It's closed. And I'm bringing Rav Schechter. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't really care about Sotheby's, but I want to go hang out with Rav Schechter a little bit, so I'll do that. So I went, and one of the things that we saw was all the old Gemaras that they had. At the beginning of every parak, we just have one long Mishnah, and then all the Gemara in that parak. The old Gemaras, before the Vilna Shas, they didn't have the Mishnayos broken down at all. And I suspect that when you have like the first Perek of Sanhedrin and a few other Parakim and Shas like that, where there's a gigantic Mishnah and no other Mishnah, someone probably just forgot to to break it up, you know, because that's the way the Gemaras were. So I'm not sure exactly who decided what makes one Mishnah, what makes two Mishnahs. Whatever it is, it doesn't seem to have any real significance. You know, you find in Achronim sometimes, Achronim will discuss, why is this Gemara on this Mishnah and not on the next Mishnah or the previous Mishnah? And like I'm always thinking, whenever I come across an Achron like that, it's not really. It was probably on the Perek Mishnayos, right? Meaning it's not. Rishonim don't refer to Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Beis, or anything. Yet, I don't think.
Well, that
with
the insight in the Mishnah, sometimes you have the Perek Mishnayos also, and it's different than the Gemara than we have. The
right, right. Yeah, that's much more rare. Right. Okay, so anyway, so how did I get? It doesn't matter how I got there. So issue number right. So issue number two was just how do we paskin? Right, well, that's what we got there, because the Rambam's psak according to the Magen Mishnah is based on machlokas v'achar kach stam. Good. So how do we paskin? Rov Rishonim mechaber Rama. We paskin the efshal psichskav glodam. Rambam efshal psichskav glodam like the Chum. Issue number two. Does efshal psichskav glodam mean that when the makor is expelling something, that blood must come out along with it? I mean, it definitely means that. Is that all it means? Or does it literally mean any time the uterus is opened, whether it be from within or from without, dam has to come out? Meaning, this is obviously very nogia l'maaseh in terms of medical examinations. If a doctor opens up with use of an instrument, the uterus, so the uterus wasn't busy expelling something, it wasn't dropping something, she wasn't being mapil anything. Do we still say Yev Shalapsich Sekever below dam? So this is a major discussion in Achronim. Nod Bihuda Tinyana Yardeasim Kovchaf, Tinyana Kovchaf, Dibra Maskul Sha'ila Shnia, holds that even if it was a psich mibachutz, even on a medical examination. Or Chashulchan agrees, and he uses strong lashon. Or Chashulchan here, Kuf Peches Nun Aleph agrees. Over here again, he uses Chalila, Lahakel. It's like he's all into the Chalilas. In Hilchas Nida, I guess it's like it's high stakes, right? So it's Chalila to say the wrong psak one way or the other. In fact, the Avnei Nezer is a tshuva. If you get a chance to look in Yerodeah, Reish Chav Dalet Aleph, the Avnei Nezer shows that the Beis Yosef holds this way. Because in Sim Kuf Peches, over here in Dibur Maskev Davka, he asks on the Rush. Well, what's his kasha on the Rush? The Rush paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda, right? That he have showed Psich Sekev Blow Dam. Asks the Beis Yosef on the Rush that you yourself, Rush, and Simon Beis over here in the third Perek Nida, paskin that roa dam bishofaris is tahora, that if a woman sees dam bishofaris comes through a tube, it doesn't touch the vaginal walls, doesn't touch the basar, it's tahora. Ask the Beis Yosef, good, it's tahora as far as dam not touching the basar, But what about the Psichus HaKever? The Shofaris itself creates a Psichus HaKever. So the Beis Yosef answer is that the Rosh defines Psichus HaKever as something that's bigger than a Shofaris. That's his answer for the Rosh. The clear assumption he's making is that even though the Shofaris is being Poseach the Kever from the outside, that it still causes a Riyaz Da. Right? So the Beis Yosef, meaning it's not just the Nedev Yehuda, Beis Yosef seems to assume like the Nedev Yehuda. So that's a pretty important maramakom, because, you know, you make something a machlokas achronim, so you can go either way on it. But once it seems to be the assumption of the Beis Yosef and how to tie up a Raj, it becomes a little more powerful.
Just in terms of like Matthias, like are most like most gynecological.
Oh, so we'll get there. So. So that's one shita in achronim, but again supported by the Beis Yosef, so pretty significant. In other achronim, the Shaul Lameshiv, Madura Tlisa'a, Chelik Beisim and Mem, and others, the Tiferes Lamoshi here in Kuf Peches, other achronim, do not think that Psichami B'chutz affects Yitzias Dam. And the Raya is from Rambam. Keep in mind, the Rambam holds that Eshel Psichus HaKever Blo Dam. So of course, but the Rambam Pirushim Shnayis. When the Rambam is explaining the Shita of Yevshel Psichus HaKever Blo Dam, in explaining Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam in Pirushim Shnayis writes over here, Perikim Alach Aleph Nida. And again, you always have to be careful about being medayik and lashonos of the Rambam Pirushim Shnayis, because these aren't his words, you know. But you have to assume that they're a good enough translation. But the diukim are always taken with a little bit of a grain of salt. But the Rambam writes, or the translation of the Rambam writes, me'ez sheyotza me'arechem, me'ez edavar, e'efshar sheyotza imodam. Whoa, that's very different than the Nedvida. When something's coming out of the rechem anyway, efshar, that there's not going to be emo dam, that together with it there's not going to be some dam. Clear implication is that it's only when something's coming out anyway. Rashi in Dibur Maschul below, as in below dam, Rashi writes below dam leida, two words, dam leida. That also sounds like it means that we don't assume that there's always blood there ready to come out. That it's only when, anyway, there's dam leida, so then the Yevshel Psichus HaKever Blo Dam, which would mean a woman gets a gynecological procedure that's done, shelo b'shas vesta, and there's no, and then lo b'shas leida, there's no reason to assume that there's any blood waiting in the makar. According to Rashi, it sounds like, and certainly according to the Rambam, that would not make her a nida. Chazanish in the Sefer, even though the tradition in Bnei Brak is not this way, but Chazanish in the Sefer in Simon Pei Gimel says that we can't be metame by psichami b'chutz. We shouldn't be metame by psichami b'chutz, because to begin with, it's all in machlokas tonight. And Shitas Rambam is Efshel Psichus HaKever Blo Dam. Plus, even though we don't pass it like the Rambam, but maybe psichami b'chutz doesn't mean anything. So it's ki'ilu sfek sfek. Yeah. It's machlokes Rishonim had a paskin though. So. But against the Mechaber and the Rambam, what he really held is that psichim mibuchutz doesn't. And Rav Avadya also. Rav Avadya's makel with the combination of Shita Sarambam and that we passing Yesh Psichus HaKever, meaning the Shita Sarambam that we passing Yesh Psichus HaKever below Dam and the psichim mibuchutz. Everyone else is machmir, including all the Chazanish's Talmidim, meaning the tradition in Bnei Brak today. Among all the, and I think it's even printed in some of the later Svarim, in like Orchos Rabbeinu, which came out like a generation after the Chazanish, was a stipler, right? I mean, he didn't write it, but it was written about him. So it says all the Hanagos of the stipler and the Chazanish. So over there it says that they're machmir. So the whole world is machmir except for Avadia, essentially, when it comes to. But it's good to know what snifim you have to work with in terms of psichim ibachutz. So that's issue number two, right? So issue number one was how do we paskin. Issue number two is what happens if the psicha comes mibachutz. Issue number three, the Ravid in Balei Nefesh, Shara Prisha, Perak Aleph, Halachat HaZayin, Shar Prisha Perakal Velachta Zayin, quotes a daya that we only say Yevshul Psichskav Lodam by a Vlad Gadol, but not by a Vlad Katan. I'm questioning how detailed I should get over here. I'll try to say it fast. His Rai is from a Mishnah in the 7th parak of Avalos, which the Gra also thought of. Some of the Gra saw it in Balei HaNefesh, but the Gra at the end of Kuf Peichas quotes it also. The Mishnah discusses if a woman is giving birth and she's moved during birth from one room to another and she has a stillborn, is everything in the first room Tamei Meis? So at what stage was she moved from one room to the other? If she was moved from one room to the other when the stillborn, when the mace was already out, halachically out, so then everything in the first room is Tameh. If not, then everything in the first room is Tahar. So that's the context of that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, when she can no longer walk, that's when you have a psich sakever. Use the term psich sakever. When she can no longer walk. And it says, when the head of the fetus is outside the rechem to the size of a pika, kipika, that means she can only know what is a pika. So the Gemara in Bechoros, Tavchav Beis, explains that it's a pika shal tsemer vishal shasi, that it's some type of weaving instrument. Don't know what it is. Rishonim don't know what, meaning they know, they don't know what size it is. But that at that size, that's when she can no longer walk. This is very going to be very nogea. We're not going to discuss now, but at what stage during childbirth do we start to assume that a woman becomes a nida? But that's the context. So she was moved at the point where there's psich sakever, everything in the first room is tamei bala meis. So if this is true of the definition of psich sakever when it comes to tumas meis, then it should probably be true when it comes to tumas isha as well. That's what the Ravid quotes such a daya, that if it's a small enough opening, and therefore a Vlad Katan, a small enough opening that's less than a pika, you can be mekel, but that's not called psich sakever. This is going to be very relevant, but first, the Ravid rejects it for three reasons. He quotes this daya, rejects it. Number one, he says, we don't know what a sheer pika is. Number two, he says, so you always have to be machmir. Number two, he says that we even say Yevshul Psichskar Blodam by Hipila Ruach. So, how big of an opening does it take to be Mapila Ruach? Sounds like there is no shear that you would need to be Mapila Ruach. And the Mishnah Chavdalim Beis says Yolda Shvir Merukam is Tamei Leda. And the Shvir Merukam is quantified by the Gemara and Daf Chafeim and Aleph in a way that the Ravid says is less than a pika. So he says, we don't accept such a daya that you need kishir pika. Yeah.
We're talking about dam, which is like a liquid. Why would you need a certain amount of space for dam to come out?
No. It's not that you need that amount of space for dam to come out. It's you need that much of a psicha to make the assumption that if you haven't seen any dam, that dam must have come out.
But when we say that we're assuming that there is dam there waiting to come out, even a small little...
No, it means that certain types of trauma to the uterus will cause dam to emerge. But other types of trauma to the uterus that are less traumatic to the uterus...
It's not like there's like dam waiting on an opening.
Yeah, because then in a pinhole and dam can get, you know, right, as a liquid it could fit through. Well, I mean, it's not like water, but yeah, it would be able to come out with something much less. This relates to the issue, is almost the same, you know, if you have a chaticha ketana, you know, something very tiny, some small chatichas basar. Tosos and Chav Bezen Bez, the Rash, many Rishonim raise the kasha. Why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that when she's Mapelis Kamin Klipa or Sa'ara? Right, what happens when she's Mapelis Kamin Klipa or Sa'ara? You saw the Gemara a little bit? So you have to test it in the water, right? To see if it disintegrates, because then it's Megala that it's really Dam, right? So all the Rishonim ask, why? She's vitame on account of Yevshul Psichskar Vlodam when Klipa, Sa'ora, whatever comes out. Because it had to come out through Psichskar. So the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh, Shara Prisha, Simin Aleph, Os Yud Zayin, and the Rashba quote same thing, B'Shem, the Ravid say that Rabbi Yehuda only says Yevshul Psichskar Vlodam by Chatichos Gedolos, not by Chatichos Ketanos. the Tur paskins like the Raivin. The chatichos ketanos shedomos l'shvoferes. If you have a chaticha ketana that's like a shvoferes, that doesn't constitute a psichsa kever that brings any da. That's what the Tur paskins. Ooh, so now we just need to know what's tiny, right? What's small? So it comes along the Beis Yosef in the end of Simon Kuf Bechaz, and he points out that we don't know what that size would be. So a shoferis would need to be very, very narrow not to cause a psichsa kever. And as a practical matter, so there's machlokas how tiny we can rely on. Is a tiny enough opening that we can rely on this Ravid that it's pachos mishoferis, whatever the shir of shoferis is. So Badei HaShulchan says that the Minhag HaPoskim, Badei HaShulchan Kuf Tzadi Dal Lamed Aleph, says Minhag HaPoskim, unnamed, doesn't tell you who they are, Minhag HaPoskim is 15 millimeters. If the size of the tool is less than 15 millimeters, you don't have psichus hakever. Rav Moshe, in a few tshuvas, in Yeridei HaChelik Aleph, Simen Pei Gimel, Yeridei HaChelik Aleph, Simen Pei Tes, or Chaim HaChelik Gimel, Simen Kuf, says 19 millimeters. In Nishmas Avram, in Kuf Pei Dalet Beis, he points out that most medical instruments fit neither, meaning that at most 12. They're usually about 3, at most 12. You're not going to find a medical instrument that's really between 15 and 19 that's going to cause you a problem anyhow. So, you know, whether you're going with the Badei HaShulchan or Ramesh is really not going to chap enough kamina. Because most medical instruments are very, very, very small anyhow. Hopefully we'll bring in a doctor one day to explain to us like what the exceptions might be and what the why they would use them and what to be aware of. But that's what the Nishmas Avram writes. However, and this is the sheet that needs to be pointed out, the sheet of the Chutshani, right? Who's the Chutshani? That's Rav Karelitz. Shavu for Shlema. I just saw online that he's ill. So Rav Karelitz from Bnei Brak, the Rav of Bnei Brak, and Rav Osner in Shevet Alevi, both say, well, we have no idea what the size is, so we always have to be machmir. Meaning, we don't know how big a pika is. We always have to be machmir. So that's as far as size, that's as far as the width.
Does it say you even be machmir for a 3 millimeter instrument?
That's what it seems. Machmir and everything. Machmir and everything. We generally do not assume that way. Meaning, if you're ever asked a shayla, you know, one of the things that there were a couple of good resources on. Rabbi Forst in his book did a lot of research. I think he spoke to several doctors. Dr. Jessica Jacob was very helpful to him. He told me, or she told me, I think, that she worked very closely with him in going through like all of the procedures that are typically done, and what kinds of instruments they use, and what would cause a problem, what would not cause a problem, what would cause bleeding, where the blood would come from, and the size of the instruments, that's useful. And also on the Yoetzet website, they have a lot of the very helpful information about this as well. So usually if you like Google the procedure together with the word Nida, you'll find whatever information you need. You know, generally you don't pass in Shilas based on Google, but Metzius, you know, from a reliable source. You can use it comes in handy, put it that way.
Well, this would be discussing how far into the uterus, though, right?
How wide, not how far. The next thing is how far, how deep. Okay, I mean, so far, how wide of an opening is a psichus hakever? Next thing is how deep, right? How deep does it have to go in order to say that's the opening of the uterus? What is the uterus? So what it is medically and what it is halachically are not necessarily the same thing. The Nedbi Yehuda suggests, shockingly actually, that if a doctor sticks his finger in to do some sort of examination, it's enough to cause psichus hakever. What's the obvious kasha on that? What? Yeah, every bedika should cause psichus hakever. Unless you assume male fingers are larger than female fingers, and then, but then like you should have to, you know, if the doctor's Donald Trump, then it would be like, so, right, he has small hands, things, things, right? So I don't know, like, you'd do some sort of, I don't know, that's very hard, very difficult, though, to be Yehuda. If you look in Pesachei Tshuva, Kuf Tzadi Dalet Dalet, he rejects that, no, to be Yehuda, because the doctor's finger is no different than her doing a bedika. So we assume that a finger doesn't reach far enough. Okay, but how far does the instrument have to go in order to pose a problem and become subject to this machlokas to know when the Bnei Brak Poskim are going to say that I don't care how narrow it is, it's causing a psichus mekever, or that you know that you're entering into this machlokas about psichus mibachutz, right? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a chiddush that he considered the cervix to be part of the uterus, the bayis ha-panimi. He considered it to be part of the uterus. Most poskim do not. Most poskim consider the cervix to be separate from the uterus. You speak to a doctor, it's part of the uterus. Meaning anatomically, it's described as the same organ. They don't view it as a separate organ. And that's important to know, because when you speak to doctors to try to find things out, you have to make sure you're speaking the same language. So a lot of times they say, yeah, it was in the uterus, by the cervical area of the uterus, because that's what it is. It's an extension of the uterus that protrudes all the way into the vaginal canal. So halachically, the cervix is a different organ than the uterus. You know, Shlomo Zalman held the psich sakever. Well, he didn't say it in the context of psich sakever. I should be clear about this. He said it in a totally different context. It may not apply. It's not necessarily 100% clear that it would apply to psich sakever. But in a different context, where Shlomo Zalman held, and we'll get to the context in a moment, but in a different context where Shlomo Zalman held, that the, I think we may have even mentioned it once, yeah, that the cervix is considered part of the uterus. So it doesn't have to go very deep, even if it just gets as far as the cervix. But most poskim assume not that way. Most poskim hold it has to go as far as the uterus itself. Another point that should be mentioned is what if a woman can't bleed? Do you still say you have shalom psich sakever lo dan? A zikena, a yalda, I don't know, a mu'uberes, a meinekes. So the Nedbiuda, Tinyana, Sofsim Kuvchav, says that even a yalda or a zikena or a mu'uberes or a menika, we would still apply you have shalom psich sakever lo dan. However, in the Sidrei Tara, in Kuf Tzadi Dalet, Sifkat and Dalet, he says that a woman who's from Mishpachas Durkati, which is a family that didn't have any dam, Dorkatua, right? That's the etymology of Durkati. At Dorkatua, the assumption of Gemara always assumes that an Isha that has, that's Dameha Merubim, Baneha Merubim. If she has a lot of dam, then she's going to have a lot of children, and that it's a very bad sign if a woman doesn't have a lot of dam, because then she's not going to be able to have children. So an Ishim Mishpachas Dorkati doesn't have dam, and if she doesn't have dam, she's not going to have children. That's why it's a Dorkatua. I don't know how they have a whole Mishpacha, but it's a Dorkatua. So she doesn't have any dam in there. So the Sidrei Tara says, then you could certainly have psichus sakever lo dan, because they don't have dam b'cheder klal. I don't know why that would be different than what the Nedivit says about a Zekein or a Menekes. The Mice says it's not really Nogaya. I mean, how often does that? Right.
There is no dam with
Tichah Kever
in this instance.
Right, that's what the Sifri Tara says.
In contrast.
Right. Lemaisa, Rabbi Sadlovsky points out that most gynecological procedures you have nothing to worry about. Why? Because you have so many tzadim lahakel, most medical procedures. First, again, even if you're not comfortable using it as a tzad lahakel, the Rambam Paschal is like the Chachamim. That if you didn't see dam, then the Chachamim say you don't have to assume that there was dam there. Second of all, the Chazon Ish holds that when it's open from the outside, the blood usually doesn't come out, right? The Sholem Eish or whatever. That when it's open from the outside, it's not a problem. Only psicha mi bifnim. Third, gynecological instruments are almost always less than 15 centimeters, millimeters. Definitely centimeters. That would kill it. Fourth, many poskim hold that the uterus is very deep in, and a general medical standard is that the more invasive the procedure, the more narrow the instrument they're going to use. right? Because they don't want to hurt people. So generally speaking, if they're going really invasive, they're going to use a very narrow instrument. But again, we'll have a doctor in Mirtz Hashem at some point after we come back from Bein HaZmanim discuss these matters with us. One more point to make. I think we've made it before. We'll just chazer it over because it's nogeya to this sugya is dam b'shvaferes. Right, the Gemara in Daf Chaf Alfen Beis says that dam b'shvaferes is tahar based on the pasuk b'vesara at shetargish b'vesara. Right. So, what exactly does that mean that dam b'shvaferes is tahar? So it's machlokes achronim what it means. The first Lubavitcher Rabbi Shulchan Aruch Rav in Kuf Pei Ches Ches writes that it means that if the insertion of a tube all the way to the uterus caused her to bleed, that's what brought about the bleeding. The trauma to the uterus by inserting a tube is what caused her to bleed, then she's tahora. But any blood that just comes out naturally, I don't care if it comes out through a tube or it comes out not through, it doesn't make a difference. If it's a regular bleeding, then she's a nida. Dam b'shofaris means that it's the aggravation of the shofaris that brought about the needles. If you say like that shita of the Balatanya of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, then Rav Shlomo Zalman's whole chiddush is not going to work, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman had this great chiddush that was originally published in a journal called Noam, now defunct journal called Noam, in the seventh volume of the journal, and he wrote in the piece that I hold this chiddush if people would be masking with me, if other gedolei Yisrael would be masking, and in volume 8. He wrote, nobody was masking. I therefore retract my chiddush, and it's just, you know, drosha kabel schar, but it's not lemaisa. He wrote in volume 8. In Mincha Shlomo Chilek Beis, the whole tshuva from volume 7 is there without a note that says that I retract the chiddush. So that's interesting. You got to think about like why he did that, right? It could be that Mincha Shlomo was for Dori Doros, and maybe in some later generation people are going to be masking. What you write in the journal is for this generation. For this generation, he's not ready to paskin this way. But so what was his great chiddush? So we've mentioned in the past. If you want to find it, you're not going to find Noam. I mean, you guys probably have ways of finding that too. But in Mincha Shlomo Chelik Beis Siminayin Ches, it's a long tshuva. Like you got to have a lot of patience. But he says that any blood that doesn't touch her basar, the vaginal walls, is on the way out of the body, is going to be tahor, even though it's part of her regular period, against the Balatanya. So Shlomo Zalman, unlike most poskim, also holds that the cervix, and this is where we got to before, the cervix is part of the uterus. So the tube only has to go as far as the cervix. And then it can come through the tube, and then she's going to be fine. If you don't hold of either one of those assumptions, you don't have this kula. Why does Shlomo Zalman want to come with the kula to make women not nidas? Like, what's his great interest in making that a woman shouldn't be a nida? This was to solve Orthodox infertility. For those women who had the problem that by the time they went to the mikveh, and by the time they got back, they've already missed their ovulation, they were therefore unable to have children. So he came up with this eitzah. It is a lot to come up with to solve that problem, especially from a modern perspective, because nowadays it's like there's so many easier ways to solve Orthodox infertility. A few pills solves Orthodox infertility. Instead of designing a rubber tube that's going to be inserted into the woman and made airtight around her cervix, which is medically impossible, I think, right? Meaning it hadn't been really exactly worked out. You know, but it was creative. Shlomo Zalman's trying to solve a problem over here. But he makes those assumptions. It works on the assumption that the cervix is the uterus, so the blood only has to start going through the tube after the cervix. And it makes the assumption that unlike the Balatanya, that if that dam b'shvaferes means that even if it's regular dam nida that just makes its way through the shoferes, that it's not going to be a problem. Rabbi Sobolovsky makes a taina that it could be that Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold that bleeding, meaning the pashtus is Rav Shlomo Zalman's definition of the uterus to include the cervix can also be a chumrah for what we were discussing before, right? That Yevshalub Sixakev Below Dam would mean that even the opening of the cervix is going to be Yevshalub Sixakev Below Dam. Rabbi Sablowski tainas in his book, in his Sefer, that it's not necessarily true. Because might mean that when you open it, there's going to be dam from where you open it. Everyone agrees that the dam from the cervix is not dam nida, because it's not the uterine blood, it's not the endometrial lining, it's not the shedding of the uterine walls. So it's not dam nida. So it could be, yes, Iev shel b'sich sekev blo dam. So when you open the cervix, there has to be dam that comes out. But which dam is coming out? Maybe only the dam of the cervix is coming out. And therefore, it's not necessarily going to be a chumra in terms of a gynecological exam, but he'll use it lekula as far as what makes a woman a nida when her regular dam comes out, that it's only past the cervix, that it has to be touching besara in order to be metameir as a nida. If you think about it, this relates back to what we were discussing earlier. What were we discussing earlier? That when it comes to, what are you going to say? That it's the dam of the, whatever Sablaski wanted to tell you, that it's the dam of the cervix that's going to come out when you open up the cervix. So we were discussing what exactly is the chazaka of Yev Shalom Sikh Sikhav Blood Dam. Remember that machlok we showed him we had earlier? Is it, right, two guys here had a machlok, right, is it Yev Shalom Sikh Sikhav Blood Dam? And Rova, the dam that comes from the Sikh Sikhav is dam nida. Or is it no? The chazaka actually means EF shall psich sakever below dam nida. And that's what you have to assume. So Rabbi Sablovsky's vart assumes the rove, right? And therefore, when you have a psich sakever that's only in the cervix, so then it changes the rove. The rove is going to be that it's dam from the cervix. But if you assume that psich sakever by definition means dam tame, that's our chazaka, that dam tame will always come out with psich sakever. So you can't start giving your lumdus of, no, it's only dam of the cervix that's going to come out. No, that's not the chazaka. The chazaka is dam tame is going to come out. So that's just a kasha on Rabbi Sablovsky's, not a kasha, a ha'ara on Rabbi Sablovsky's assumption. So again, Rosham Zalman Satsa is not lemaisa b'chlal, because we have much easier ways to solve these issues, but I don't know, it's like you have to, when you learn a chesnit, you got to, every couple of months, you got to mention Rosham Zalman Orbach's chidish. So we'll get back to it in a couple of months again. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful vacation. We will have Bechina, details to be forthcoming on your WhatsApp chats, I guess. We will have Bechina Bez Hashem after Penas Manim, so take the time to chazer. Bli Neder, I will do the same. Okay.